Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Equitable Tolling and Gross Negligence of Counsel Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On June 14, 2010, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Holland v. Florida. In this case, the court was asked whether the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act, or AEDPA, statute of limitations was subject to the equitable tolling principle, and whether the gross negligence of counsel was grounds for allowing a defendant to rely on the equitable tolling principle to excuse his late habeas petition. In a 7-2 opinion delivered by Justice Breyer, the court held that the AEDPA statute of limitations was subject to equitable tolling, and that counsel's failure to file a timely habeas petition might constitute extraordinary circumstances warranting tolling in this case. Justice Scalia dissented from both holdings, joined by Justice Thomas as to the second holding. To discuss the case, we have Ronald Eisenberg, who is the Deputy District Attorney for the Law Division of the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Eisenberg.
For most of American legal history, federal courts had almost no power to review criminal convictions that arose from state crimes prosecuted in state courts. That started to change in the 1950s when the Supreme Court reinterpreted the federal habeas corpus statute, which was originally enacted after the Civil War, to turn the federal courts into a super system of appeals for state criminals. Among the many objections to this development, one of the most pressing was that the habeas statute, which had not been designed for such work, contained no sort of time limit. State criminal defendants could file their federal habeas petitions whenever they wanted, often years after their state appeals, when witnesses and even court records had disappeared. By the mid-90s, the Supreme Court had acknowledged the problem directly, but declined to resolve it. The court announced that if there was ever to be a statute of limitations for federal habeas petitions, Congress was going to have to create it by amending the federal habeas statute. After years of debate, Congress finally did just that with the AEDPA reforms that took effect in 1996. The new law established a firm 1-year filing deadline with 3 specific exceptions for claims based on new constitutional rights, newly available facts, or illegal impediments created by the state. That statutory structure set the stage for last term's Supreme Court ruling in Holland versus Florida. As soon as the AEDPA time limits were enacted, lower federal courts began expressing their dissatisfaction with Congress's work. The courts believed that the 3 stated exceptions to the 1-year deadline were too constraining, and that as a matter of fairness, there should be additional grounds on which a criminal defendant should be able to delay. Courts refer to the concept as equitable tolling. Over the course of the last decade and a half, every federal circuit has declared that it has the power to subject the habeas filing deadline to such tolling. Given the development of this law, the availability of equitable tolling in habeas cases has been pretty much a closed question. Most of the litigation has not been about whether equitable tolling exists, but instead is focused on whether the excuses offered in particular cases were sufficiently compelling. If the defendant loses his legal papers, for example, or just has trouble understanding the law, should that be a valid reason for missing the filing deadline? And yet, the deeper question never entirely went away. Is there really any such thing as equitable tolling in the habeas context? The reason for the flickering uncertainty came from hints dropped by the Supreme Court itself. In 2 separate habeas cases, the justices considered whether particular fact patterns would warrant equitable tolling. But in doing so, the court went out of its way to caution that in the future, it might reject the concept in its entirety. Both decisions were majority opinions authored by Justice Thomas. Finally came the case of Albert Holland versus the state of Florida. In July 1990, over 20 years ago, Holland viciously beat a woman he had just met, leaving her semi-conscious with severe head wounds. Police immediately began a search for the perpetrator. Officer Scott Winter was unlucky enough to find him. Somehow, Holland managed to grab the officer's gun and promptly shot him to death. He was tried twice for his crimes with the same result each time, a sentence of death. After the Florida Supreme Court upheld the sentence on direct appeal, Holland was appointed a new lawyer for another round of appeals on post-conviction review. Holland again lost in state court and asked his lawyer to file a federal habeas corpus petition. But the lawyer didn't file, and by the time Holland found out, the deadline had passed. He filed his own petition, but the federal courts dismissed it as time-barred. In doing so, the 11th Circuit didn't challenge existing circuit precedent allowing for equitable tolling under AEDPA. Instead, it held that on the facts of the case, Holland couldn't show the kind of extraordinary circumstances that the equitable tolling doctrine requires. Holland sought review of the ruling in the Supreme Court. He contended that his attorney's misconduct was sufficiently bad that it ought to excuse his lateness. It was then that the state of Florida, rising to the invitation presented by Justice Thomas's prior opinions, argued that equitable tolling should be categorically precluded in habeas cases. Ironically, that argument may have made the case more cert-worthy, and review was granted. In his brief on the merits, Holland relied on Supreme Court precedents holding that even where the legislature establishes a definitive statute of limitations, there is a presumption that it is subject to equitable tolling, unless the deadline is labeled as jurisdictional or the structure of the statute leaves no room for an open-ended case-by-case loophole. The state seized on that last point. Its argument was that the habeas filing deadline is not a simple one-year rule. Rather, Congress took the trouble to detail several specific exceptions to the rule, which brings into play the powerful principle of statutory construction and basic logic, embodied in the Latin phrase, inclusio unius est exclusio alterius. If the legislature had wanted to create additional exceptions, or to delegate to the judiciary the power to invent its own exceptions, it would have done so. So the lines were clearly drawn for oral argument before the court. As often seems to happen, though, it didn't turn out quite as expected. There was very little time spent on the threshold question of whether the habeas statute precluded equitable tolling. Instead, most of the discussion was about what standard to use for equitable tolling and how to draw lines. That's pretty much the way the opinion went down when it came out several months later. The court first rejected the state's general argument, ruling that, despite its detailed exceptions, the habeas filing deadline wasn't emphatic enough to preclude the possibility of equitable tolling. The opinion then addressed the question of how to apply the doctrine in the circumstances of this case, holding that at least sometimes attorney misconduct resulting in a missed deadline can justify equitable tolling. The court noted some factors that might weigh in Holland's favor. He had sent his lawyer many letters about filing a timely petition. The lawyer nonetheless failed to do the necessary research and indeed failed to communicate with Holland over a period of years. To examine these and other factors more closely, the case was sent back to the lower courts for reconsideration. The vote wasn't the usual 5-4 split often seen in criminal, especially death penalty cases. While the liberal wing, along with Justice Kennedy, voted for Holland, they were joined by two of the conservatives, the Chief Justice and Justice Alito. Only Justice Scalia dissented, joined by Justice Thomas. But despite the clear majority, it's unclear what will happen now in the world of habeas corpus petitions. To be sure, Albert Holland will get another chance to get into court, and his petition will probably be accepted this time, but it's unlikely he has any legal claims that will succeed in overturning his conviction. More broadly, we don't know much more about equitable tolling than we did before. All the circuits were already applying the doctrine in habeas cases. As Justice Scalia pointed out in dissent, and as Justice Alito argued in a concurring opinion, the Holland majority doesn't really tell us much about how to decide equitable tolling issues when lawyers screw up. All the justices agreed that missed deadlines can't be excused just because an attorney makes a mistake. You have to have, quote, extraordinary circumstances. But what does that mean? The general rule in the past has been that the lawyer acts as an agent of the defendant, and his actions are therefore attributable to the defendant. When do we depart from that principle? When the lawyer's misconduct is, quote, intentional? When he is grossly negligent as opposed to merely negligent? When the defendant has been prodding him or has asked for a new lawyer? Those are questions that we'll have to await another day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.